Is he here?
Warren Sharp's here.
Warren Sharp on ESPN 97.5. Warren, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Having a long time no talk. Hope your holiday was great.
Yeah, no complaints.
That's awesome. Now, we haven't gotten to you. Let me ask you this question, because we're kind of happy here in Houston that the Dallas Cowboys are sucking as badly as they're sucking. Will this trend continue of this horrific offense? And how much of it, I'm hearing all the talking heads, it's mostly about Zeke, and that's why this offense is bogged down so much. What do you think?
Well, I think there's two main reasons why the team is struggling. The first one that's even more important than Zeke or their Tyron Smith being out for, you know, a little bit was Sean Lee, and it still remains Sean Lee. I mean, he is such an integral part of that defense. It completely falls apart when he's not there, and inevitably what that allows the other teams to do is just do what Dallas used to do, which is control the clock, milk time of possession, wear that defense out on the field, and leave Dallas's offense in this unenviable position of having very little opportunity but needing to score. Like, they can't afford to punt the ball because they know that's going to inevitably get them down on the scoreboard. So there's like this desperation that ensues when Dallas's offense has the ball. But offensively for Dallas, the big issue with them is their passing game, which has completely fallen apart since Ezekiel Elliott left. And I just tweeted a stat out this morning where I like to look at this point in the season. I think full season stats, given the way the teams change and fluctuate with schemes or injuries, that it's important to look at like recent data as well as full season. You can't just look at full season. And since Ezekiel Elliott went out of this offense, this team is the worst explosive passing offense in the NFL. They are not stretching defenses whatsoever in terms of frequency of pass completions that are making 20-plus yard gains. They're now the worst in the NFL. And their passing offense has suffered as well without Ezekiel Elliott being there. There's a lot that plays into that. That Zeke's presence allows their passing game to have more efficiency. But right now, they just need to try to force the football down the field a little bit more and stretch out opposing defenses.
Got Warren Sharp hanging out with us on Raheel, John, Dell. We're hanging out, talking some football. So what do you see tonight? You got any plays on the Redskins-Cowboys Thursday night game?
I don't right now. I don't have anything going right now on this game. It's just recently taken a little bit of money to the over, which I won't necessarily disagree with. The fact remains, we have to see what Dallas is able to do in the second half, because it's difficult for games to go over the total if Dallas's offense is contributing minimal points. And the last 3 weeks, I believe they've contributed a total of 6 points in the second half. They've been massively outscored against any team that's decent. The Redskins, obviously, even though they're 5-6, they played a difficult schedule. They are a decent team. They've suffered a number of injuries themselves. But I think Dallas's offense needs to figure out how to open things up with the explosive passing game. If they can do that, look, their run game has not been that big of a drop-off. Ezekiel Elliott is a massive piece to this team overall in terms of what he provides. But in terms of just the little element of rushing efficiency, they've had some success there the last few weeks. But the key has been, without Zeke, defenses aren't keying up to stop the run quite as much, and they're allowing and they're focusing on Dak and forcing him to be less efficient throwing the ball. So Dallas needs to really be aggressive in that respect, in my opinion, especially on early down.
SharpFootballStats.com, SharpFootballAnalysis.com, place to find Warren Sharp and all of the information. Let's talk about our Texans. Such a tough team to read. You know, Tom Savage moved them. They moved the ball, but then he had the turnovers, and that's something that's been plaguing him. How do you read the Texans now game to game?
It's difficult. I mean, you've got two teams that are going head-to-head that are difficult to really figure out. I'm extremely down right now on Tennessee. This is a team that's just been highly inefficient. They don't really know how to divvy up their run carries. They should not, in my opinion, be running DeMarco Murray as much as they are right now. The early down success dictates that they need to be running the football a little bit more with, you know, there are other guys, and get rid of DeMarco Murray, add a little bit more of Derrick Henry, but they continue to ride DeMarco Murray. And when they're doing that, that inevitably they think the run game is helping them, but the run game actually hamstrings the quarterback, Marcus Mariota, because it's inefficient on early downs. It puts more pressure on Mariota to convert third downs through the air. What they need to do is ensure that that run game, if they're going to use it, it stays efficient, and that means more Derrick Henry early. Their defense is somewhat of a mess, and you guys obviously have played several very good defenses. If you look at, you know, the competition that you faced, obviously Tom Savage has improved recently, and partly it's been a little bit better cohesion with that group and more experience. But you guys face the number one overall defense in the Baltimore Ravens, the number nine overall defense in the Arizona Cardinals, and the number five overall defense of the LA Rams the last 3 weeks. Now you get to go up against this 25th ranked Tennessee Titans defense. I think, you know, as much as I don't like Tom Savage and just still feel terrible that Watson is not there, it is what it is. I think that this offense can be a lot more effective this week and look even better than it has, you know, against the Arizona Cardinals, let's say, when week 11, because of the caliber of opponent that they're going to be facing in Tennessee. They've got to focus on stopping the run game on early downs against Tennessee so that they have enough time of possession themselves and their defense doesn't get worn out. But I think there are going to be edges for your offense in this one.
All right. There's Warren Sharp, Sharp Football on Twitter. You had a thread of the Falcons where, you know, early in the season, the Falcons did not look good, the Super Bowl hangover. But there's actual data suggesting it was because of that first down pass explosive plays, right? And now they're back to being what they were last year. Are they back in terms of pure offensive ability, or is that just a flash right now? What do you think?
I think, look, partially it does relate to who they've played. If you look at some of the opponents that they faced the last several weeks, the Cowboys, again, a mess without Sean Lee. The Bucs still don't have a great defense. And then they got to face Seattle with their beat-up secondary, right? So there are some benefits there. But the key is, it's not that just they were running the same offense that they did up through week 7 and they were just more effective with it, you know, the last several weeks. The issue has been a definitive change in their philosophy to try to do more of what they were doing last season. And we called this out on the Sharp Football Show back after week 7 when they lost to the Patriots. Look, they are not targeting Julio Jones enough on first down, and they are not using Julio Jones deep enough down the field. And what have they done the last since week 8 of the season? They are getting Julio Jones the ball on 44% of their first down targets. Now, that is something that's completely unsustainable, but they've made a conscientious decision to get Julio Jones more involved on first down. In addition, what they've decided to do, back if you look on Sharp Football Stats or look at the thread that I was tweeting about, they were focusing on Julio Jones. 35% of the total targets on first down were to the short right of the field. Only 10% were to the short left. Very little to the deep area of the field. They were basically making it too predictable where he was going to be targeted on first down when he was targeted, so the defenses could align and defend that easier. Now they're spreading him all over the field, very balanced, and a whopping 67% of their targets to Julio on first down have been beyond 15 yards past the line of scrimmage. That, again, is something that's not sustainable. That's a ridiculously high percentage. It was only 30% through week 7. It's now up to 67% since week 8. Last season, it was 45% of the passes to Julio on first down were deep shots. What this has done for the team has allowed them not only to expand their deep passing game with Julio, it's allowed other players to fill in, and all of the passer rating and efficiency to everybody else has increased on first down thanks to them working the ball more to Julio on the early downs and getting the ball deep to him. Cool. So it's been really effective what they've been doing with Julio, and you know, I hope that they continue it, but they're in for a big challenge this week because Minnesota is one of the best passing defenses in the league. It's the best that Philadelphia will face this year.
Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis, Sharp Football Stats, both.coms. All right, give us one hot. You got a hot play right now. You got one hot play this week.
Yeah, I've got a couple. The one that I'll share with you is not going to be a very popular one. It's going to be one that everybody probably hates. In the past, you know, we've been able to hit on some games that, you know, wow, the public sentiment agrees with this. The betting market agrees with this one, and that's more important sometimes. And we went in on yesterday morning the over in Detroit versus Baltimore. That game was at 41, which is what we got. Now, that's a somewhat key number in totals. It's up to 43 right now. My advice, again, as I've done before on the show, if you did not get down on this game earlier, which if you were a client, you would have, but is just wait, because inevitably this game should get bet down a little bit lower. But take a look at this string of quarterbacks. Like, I love the Baltimore defense. They're really stout, extremely good against the pass. But take a look at the quarterbacks that they have faced. And I'm going to work through this in order since week five, okay? From most recent to earliest, Tom Savage, Brett Hundley, Marcus Mariota, who's struggling a lot this year, Case Keenum, Mitchell Trubisky, E.J. Manuel. They've also faced earlier in the year DeShone Kizer and Blake Bortles. This is a team that's going up against the best quarterback that they have faced this year, apart from Ben Roethlisberger. And I would still argue, you know, he's much better than Andy Dalton as well up in Cincinnati. This is a team that has not faced very many good quarterbacks. They face a lot of backup quarterbacks. I think the passing offense of the Lions will be able to do enough in this game. 41 was a low total. Again, at 43, don't go over that number. Wait. If you can't get anything better than 43 later, closer to game day, I'd still go over that number. The other thing, the hidden factor in this game, field goal kicking. We've got two great kickers, Matt Prater, Justin Tucker. These guys can hit the ball from like the 45-yard line. So any time that they even get the ball to the opponent's territory, we're on fringe field goal range, and that might come into play with a lower scoring game projected. So my model likes this game over the total. I think that there is a little bit of value here, but I would wait to get a better number later in the week.
There it is, Lions-Ravens over. That is Warren Sharp right here on ESPN 97.5. As always, great talking to you, Warren. We appreciate it.
All right, have a great weekend, guys.
All right, Warren Sharp every week. Sharp football stats, sharpfootballanalysis.com.